We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
It's our 20th night in Old Testament Men of Faith. Can you believe that? I don't know if I've ever done one series for 20 straight weeks. I think that is a first for me. And so tonight is also going to be our last night in the Old Testament Men and Women of Faith. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So literally, the way that service is, I literally have now 30 minutes, really 25 minutes if we're going to take an offering tonight. So we have 25 minutes to go through this message, and so going forward, we might even be reducing our Wednesday night worship to doing just two worship songs or three worship songs, so that way we can focus on the Word. But that means everyone's going to get here right on time, everyone's going to press in for that 1 hour. How many people can handle 1 hour on a Wednesday night? Praise God for attention span in 2019. So Hebrews chapter 11, let's start in verse 32, even though verse 32 is a bit of a refresher from the last couple weeks. But it says, starting in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." Now verse 33, this is new ground. And this is what we're going to focus on tonight. "Who through faith..." Now, I don't know if this was originally written in Hebrew or if it was originally written in Greek. I don't think it really matters, but in English we have all this fancy punctuation. I say fancy, but it's just punctuation. Commas, periods, colons, all of that. It wasn't so when it was originally written. So, you know, here where it says, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness," all these different things, there's a comma after each one. If I could add one of my own punctuations here, I would say, "who through faith, colon, subdued kingdoms." Because otherwise, it's not that they just subdued kingdoms through faith and then all these other things were on their own. It's saying that all of these things to follow in the next verse or so were done through faith. So who through faith subdued kingdoms? Who through faith worked righteousness? Who through faith obtained promises? I like that one. I don't know about you guys, but I'm into obtaining promises. I mean, the Word of God is full of promises. Oh, I mean, thousand or more promises. Probably thousands of promises in God's Word. I'm into obtaining promises. Well, how did they do it in the Old Testament? Through faith. That's right. They obtained them through faith. They stngd the mouths of lions. How? Through faith. Who knew that you could stop the mouth of a lion through faith? I mean, if it were me, I would probably use like a .454 caliber, .50 caliber maybe. You know, if it came down to it, and I had a .45 or a 10mm. I mean, that's probably how that would be my route. You know, but huh? What? You don't want me to waste my time talking about calibers? This is important. We're in New York, you know? As much time as I can spend in church talking about guns, since we live in New York, in our geographical region in the world, it's important to talk about calibers here. All right. "But you can stop lions through faith, the mouth of a lion through faith. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turn to flight the armies of the aliens." I mean, Independence Day's got nothing on the Old Testament saints.
Come on.
Right? For anyone that isn't sure, you know, what's going on right now, aliens, of course, is talking about foreigners. They weren't actual aliens from outer space back then attacking them. "Women receive their dead raised to life again." Now, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, not with weed, with rocks. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony, how did they obtain a good testimony? Through what?
Faith.
Through what?
Faith.
Through faith. That's how you obtain a good testimony with God, is through faith. Which is what? Which is taking action on the word of God. They received a good testimony through faith. It says that they did not receive the promise. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Well, hold on. Didn't we just read where it says that they obtained promises? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't verse 33 say that whose faith obtained promises? But here it says that they didn't obtain the promise. You see, the promises that they obtained were, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 28. All those promises that were given to them. Promises from the word of God that they were able to believe for. The blessings of God. And they also were able to obtain the promise, the land of Canaan. And the different promises that God spoke to him, any word that he said, I will do this for you, they were able to obtain it through faith. Well, what then is the promise? Verse 40. God having provided something better for us. God having provided something better for us. You see, everything that we just read that they did, shutting the mouths of lions, putting the armies of the aliens to flight, receiving their dead back to life, all those things that they did as spiritually dead men and spiritually dead women. Why? Well, because no one had their spirit born unto God until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. No one could be born again until that point. So that means that though these people had a covenant with God, their covenant was different. They had a covenant where they were treated as servants. They knew of God, they had the commandments of God, but they did not have fellowship with God. They could go to the priest, and the priest could go into the Holy of Holies and perform the sacrifices and the rituals that was basically holding off the judgment of God upon them through the shedding of animals, the sacrifices, in order to cover their sins through that sacrificial system. But now today, because of what Jesus did, he shed his blood as the final sacrifice. And so through that covenant that now we have with God, we can now boldly approach the throne of grace. We can boldly come into the presence of God. And so if they could do all of that, all of these things, as spiritually dead men, subduing kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. If they could do all of that being spiritually dead, what more can you and I do as the children of God? As born again, new creations, with our spirit man made alive to God. How much more are you and I capable of? Well, how are we going to do it? Through faith. That's right. Through faith. Through believing God. Through trusting Him and trusting His Word. You know, you read about these Old Testament armies of Israel when they were being obedient to God. Because there's just as many examples in the Old Testament where when they were being disobedient to the commandments of God, that anybody was able to destroy them. But as they were being obedient to God, that it says here that they became valiant in battle through faith. They weren't just superior warriors. It wasn't just their skill that they had. Though I'm sure as warriors that they trained, I'm sure that David, when he killed Goliath, it wasn't the first time that he put a rock in his sling. So I'm sure there is that element of us having to put the effort and the practice into it. But through faith, you become something more. Through faith, when you're going up against impossible odds, you become valiant in battle. Man, I mean, what is your battle? What are you battling against? Are you battling against depression? That doesn't have to be a battle. Our generation likes to make you think that, you know, that's just like a part of life and we're meant to deal with it and we need to make people more aware of depression. No! You need to make people more aware of the power of God through faith. You need to make more people aware of the presence and the power of God. What is your battle? Maybe it's finances. Well, through faith, you can become valiant in battle against a financial burden and become victorious. Maybe it's a healing in your body or a disease or something that you've been fighting. You need to become valiant in battle against that thing. Now, of course, they had physical foes back then. Today we have spiritual ones. But the same principle applies that you can become valiant in battle through faith. Go up against bigger, stronger forces than what you would be able to overcome. And through the presence and the power of God, you can win. As you take action on the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, spiritually dead men did all of those things. And then verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So God gave us a better covenant. Remember Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, but now he obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. A better covenant, which is established on better promises. So they obtained the promises that were given to them. But it says that we have better promises. Whatever they were able to believe for, we can believe for that and more. So why don't we? Why do we sell ourselves short? You're able to believe God for whatever you want. Remember the message on Sunday? As long as you're not going into sin and going outside of God's word and his will through his word and believing for something that you shouldn't be believing for. For example, your neighbor's wife. You know, that's ridiculous, but people have done it. You know, as long as you're not going outside the will and through the word of God, you can believe God. And Jesus said that when we ask the Father in his name, he will give us whatever we ask. So we have better promises. I mean, what a promise is that? That's an unlimited promise. For unlimited power, that you can accomplish whatever you want. So literally, the only thing stopping you from accomplishing anything in this world and in this life is you. God is on your side, and he's given you an unlimited promise. Better promises, better covenant. Direct connection to the power and the presence of God. The only thing that's stopping us from going further is our belief that we can or we can't do something. Because if you can believe that you can do something, then God is right there with you, in agreement with you, that you can do it. He's just waiting for you to rise up valiantly in battle and become the victor. You know, if David hadn't stood up that day and gone out to face Goliath, it's very possible that Saul and his army would have become slaves to the Philistines. So why didn't they? Why didn't they become slaves to the Philistines? Because someone said, how are we allowing that uncircumcised Philistine to stand up there and curse our God? Somebody has to do something about it. Is there not a cause? You see, what is your cause? What is it that you're going to get up and fight for in the morning? It's not like we're, you know, we have to get out of this American culture mindset that we're just waking up, going to clock in at work, going to do our 8-hour shift, and then come back home, turn on television, watch our favorite show, cook our dinner, get ready for bed, do the same thing tomorrow. What is your cause? What are you fighting for? What are you, when you die, what are they going to say about you? What difference are you making in this world? And it's not up to anybody else except for you to make that difference. You can make the difference that you want to make in this world. How? Through faith. Because we have a better covenant. We have a covenant that is unlimited, that nothing can stop you. How? Because I have the greater one on the inside of me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Nothing can stop that except for me. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's the power of God for salvation. Salvation from what? Yes, salvation to become born again, but also salvation for anything in this world. It's salvation from physical harm. It's salvation from mental disorders. It's salvation from financial disasters. It's salvation for whatever you're willing to believe God for. It is the power of God, the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God, the good news, the gospel, that Jesus came and died for us, for you and for me. That is the good news. And it is the power of God to salvation. No matter what enemy you face, we have salvation. Look at what those spiritually dead men and women were saved from. Impossible odds against fire, against the edge of the sword, against the armies of the aliens. And verse 17 says in Romans chapter 1, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, right? It says we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. Faith operates through love. So we love through faith. Everything that we do in this life to become victorious is done through faith. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. I mean, Daniel, in the lion's den, kept the mouth shut of those lions. You know, you watch it as the cartoon, and of course it's the big angel that kept the lions shut, right? So was it David or was it Daniel? I mean, was it Daniel or was it the angels that did it? Well, if anybody else had been tossed in there, like was done shortly after Daniel came out of there, what happened to them? They were lunch for those lions. So was it the angel or was it Daniel that stopped those lions from eating Daniel? It was the angel, but why? Through Daniel's faith. It's through faith. Faith, trusting in God, believing God, taking him at his word, Not looking at your circumstances, not seeing at what you have in your bank account and then deciding what you're able to do, but believing that God can make a way where there is no way. That's why I love that scripture. I believe it's quoted in the New Testament from Isaiah, that God will make the crooked path straight, that he'll make the rough way smooth, that he'll fill the valley full, that he'll bring the mountains low, that it doesn't matter what's in your way. You got a crooked path in front of you, he'll make it straight for you. There's bumps along the road, he'll clear them off. If there's a deficit, he'll fill it full. If there's an obstacle in your way, he'll bring it down low. It doesn't matter what it is. God, through faith, can do it all. But it's up to you. It's up to me. God meets us at our level of faith, which again, is us taking action on his word. So when you face a symptom of sickness, if you let it stay in your body, it'll gladly stay. And God will let it stay. Even though you're a Christian, blood-bought, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, even though you have an inheritance among the saints and one day you'll join them in heaven, even though we have all of that, God will let you stay sick, he'll let you stay broke, he'll let you stay in whatever mess you find yourself in if you don't do something about it. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit's always giving us the answer. He's always giving us the way out. Sometimes he might put a special amount on your heart to give in an offering. And he might be putting that there so that he can get you out of that situation that you're in, out of a financial crisis. There's many different ways that God can operate, but it's through sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and through consistent action upon the Word. So who is our Old Testament man of faith that we're talking about tonight? Well, we're talking about you and me, New Testament men and women of faith. That is who we're talking about tonight. Because God provided something better for us, the New Testament church. As awesome as it is, I mean, we didn't get a chance to study all of them, but we looked at several Old Testament men of faith. We started with Abel and his sacrifice that he brought to the Lord. We talked about Noah and what it took. Do you remember Noah? What it took to be a preacher of righteousness. For over 100 years, building that ship, telling people a flood is coming. You know, we've been in ministry for about 5 years. So if we were in ministry for another 95 years, waiting for the promise of God, telling people, God's going to do this for us. God's going to do this for us. Another 95 years before that promise came through. That's some serious faith and trust in the Lord. But he did it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and then Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Daniel. We talked about all these men of faith. And I think there was some women in there in between. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Should already be at the end of Hebrews 11. We got to finish quick. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You see, we're on night 20. We've been talking for 19 previous weeks on these Old Testament men and women of faith. Those are our great cloud of witnesses that this is talking about. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. So look at all those Old Testament men of faith. Those are the witnesses that are cheering you on. Run the race. Run the race. Run the race. Don't slow down. Don't get ensnared by sin. Don't get bogged down and burdened down by the weight of this world. But lay those things aside, as it says, that so easily ensnare us. And I think that's a problem in the church, is that it warns here. This is talking to us, and it's a warning. He's saying that we, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. How is that even possible for the church? Well, if you've been born again, you realize that you're still susceptible to commit sin. You're not immune to committing sin. And he tells us to lay aside every weight. He tells us to lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. We have to do something about that sin problem. We have to lay it aside. And then we run the race with endurance. You know, if I were to go out right now and run the race physically, my endurance would last probably to the end of the parking lot. And then my endurance would end. Because I haven't been practicing. Because I haven't been keeping up. Keeping up is a great overstatement. I haven't done any sort of cardio. I don't even remember the last time that I've been doing cardio. But if you want to run the race, you got to keep up with it regularly, at least, you know, once every couple of days. But if you really want to run the race, if you want to run a professional race, you got to be on it daily. You got to be watching about what goes into your system, how the food affects you, how do you train, the weights that you lift, how you lift them. All these things are calculated into running the race with endurance. And so if all of that goes into just running a physical race, how much more, as spiritual believers, should we be focusing on what goes into our spirit man? How much more should we be focused on training spiritually to run the race with endurance? You know, many Christians aren't running the race or enduring the race because they aren't training for it. They aren't keeping up for it. You know, it would be totally unfair if I were to go out and find one of these great college athletes and said, hey, let's go, you know, let's see who runs a better race, you or me. They would run for miles and miles. I would be coughing up blood after about a quarter mile. You know? So it's obvious when we look at the physical example of it. But what about spiritually? Isn't it the same obvious answer? That if we want to run this race with endurance, then we got to daily be putting down the flesh. Daily, we got to be filling ourselves with the Word of God. Daily, we got to be training ourselves for this fight of faith. To run with endurance. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Don't get ensnared by the sin that so easily ensnares us, but run the race with endurance. Because we have this great cloud of witnesses, these 19, now 20 weeks that we've been talking about these Old Testament men of faith, they're cheering you on. They're your cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Don't slow down. Don't get caught up in this world, but keep running the race. Keep believing God for more. Keep challenging yourself for bigger, for better, for all that God has for you. Obtain the promises. Obtain the promise. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.